Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Today, we've got a very important topic. We're going to be talking about the debt ceiling crisis, so stay tuned. Well, hello, everyone, again, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Of course, I am Paul Blair. I'm one of the pastors here at Liberty Church Edmond. This is David Hannon. He is one of our staff members. And this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out is going to be an amazingly baffling topic, a topic that you would think that any room of adults could get worked out in a reasonable period of time when they realize just how important this task is. But we don't have a group of adults in D.C. We have 535 children, apparently, self-serving children, the majority of them. So, David, give us a little background. I know what we're talking about today, but go ahead and let in our
debt ceiling crisis. I thought we were going to talk about make America mediocre again.
Well, we're well on the way to
we're building back better, baby.
we're making America what China used to be in the 70s, and we're making China what America was in the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah. Sadly, we seem to be on a reverse course.
All right, let's start with a quote from Manchin. This is from April 20th. For the sake of the country, I urge President Biden to come to the table. Propose a plan for real spending cuts and deficit reduction and negotiate now.
I appreciate Senator Manchin for that. And Senator Manchin is a Democrat. Quite frankly, I disagree with him more often than I agree with him. But he is rumored to be a reasonable mind or one of the more conservative Democrats. Now, when you consider where the Democratic Party has moved to these days, you could be bat crap crazy and be considered a conservative Democrat. But let's just talk about how this process is supposed to work. First of all, in the United States of America, we aren't supposed to be run by an imperial president.
Nope.
In fact, you go back to our beginnings. In the first 36 years that America operated under the Constitution, beginning with George Washington, going through James Monroe, those first five presidents that were called the founding era presidents, they issued a total of 15 executive orders and 10 presidential vetoes because they didn't believe and they would know that they weren't supposed to rule the country as the president. They were supposed to carry out the instructions that the ruling body, which was Congress, made up of two houses, they're the only group of the three branches that can create law. And then even there, they're limited to a very small area that the federal government is supposed to act in. Now, all spending bills are supposed to begin with the House of Representatives. Because this is an important lesson, ladies and gentlemen. You hear the term public funds used a lot. There are no such thing as public funds. The government doesn't have any money. The federal government doesn't have any money. The state governments don't have any money. The only money they have are what is taken from us in taxes or what they borrow and the people are obligated to repay. So it's the people's money. And since the House of Representatives was supposed to represent the people and the Senate was supposed to represent the states, all spending bills originate in the House. So it's up to the Speaker of the House and the House of Representatives to present a budget to the president. Quite frankly, that should be the most powerful entity in this whole negotiation. It's up to the president to come and then come to an agreement or negotiate with the members of the House. It's not up to the president to slam his fist down and say it's my way or the highway because he's not supposed to have that kind of power. Now, David, what exactly have they proposed in all this, or have you?
Oh, yeah. So this new bill lifts the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. Just enough to push the next debt crisis into the 2024 election year.
Now, David, let me correct you here. That was the proposed conservative.
Yeah, I know.
That was the whatever bill that was supposedly the conservative idea. But the idea that was agreed to today or supposedly agreed to over the course of this Memorial Day weekend between the president and the Speaker of the House basically gave an unlimited increase. Now, understand what the debt ceiling is. This is like, okay, you have an income. Let's say you make $2,000 a month and you spend $1,800 a month. Well, then you're in the black. You're actually saving. If you make $2,000 a month and you spend $2,000 a month, you're just treading water. But if you make $2,000 a month and you're spending $2,500 a month, then you're going in the red. Now, you can do that for a while with your credit cards until you hit your debt limit.
Mm-hmm.
Then at that point, you should change your behavior. You should recognize that you're going down a path to destruction. But what the government does is they keep saying, we're going to default unless you allow us to raise our credit card limit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Democrats are demanding right now. We want you to raise our credit card limit. Otherwise, we're going to default. Well, there's no reason we should default.
Hey, just print more money.
Which brings us to the modern solution. That's really where we're going, sadly.
Digital currency.
They talk about it. It's called modern monetary theory. You know, there used to be a time, for example, the last time we were actually in a declared war, which was World War II. Mm-hmm. And all the battles we've been in, none of those have been declared by Congress. But in World War II, they used to sell war bonds to the public.
Yep.
Because the government couldn't just create money. They had to borrow it from somebody, so they borrowed it from the people. Those were war bonds. Well, now you don't even hear discussion. In fact, you know, when we first started on the Reclaiming Oklahoma for Christ, the Reclaiming America for Christ, and all these battles that we were waging, I remember the national debt was about $5 trillion. Now it's up to $31.5
trillion. $31.4. That was January.
And that's been less than 20 years. It took us 225 years to go from zero to $5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
We have now gone from $5 trillion to $31.5 trillion in about less than 20 years.
Yep.
So we have completely disconnected from reality.
Yep.
And this, and as you said a moment ago, just print more money. That's the modern theory. We used to recognize that you had to pay it back sometime. Now the theory is, wait a second, we own the printing press. We can just keep printing money and keep printing money and keep printing money. Now, politicians love this because they love to give the people things so they can get reelected and stay in power.
Yes.
But when the people have to pay taxes to get those things, the people don't like it. So this idea of deficit spending, politicians love. Inflation, politicians love, ladies and gentlemen, because they're able to do what I just said. And here's what happens with inflation. As the government just creates more money, in fact, this year they're talking about maybe as much as a $4.5 trillion increase in our debt before they get to this limit again.
Crazy.
But as they do this, we can't just print money.
Yep.
So whatever you have in savings is there. And you're trying to be a good steward, saving for that next house or saving for retirement or whatever. And you've been disciplined and you've done things the right way and you've sacrificed and you've saved up. And maybe you have $100,000 saved up for retirement. Well, if they keep increasing the amount of dollars in circulation, every time they do that, that diminishes the purchasing power of the money that you have saved.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a perfect example. I was thinking about this. I don't know why I was thinking about this the other day. I was driving through town. I was thinking back to when I was a kid. We used to go on church visitation. And I remember after visitation night, we'd go knock on apartments and hand out and invite them to church. And we'd go to a place called West Oaks. We'd always gather at the end of the night and have fellowship there. And I can remember going into West Oaks, and I'd always get the soup and salad and iced tea. This was back when I was like 12, 13. Soup and salad was 75 cents. Wow. Iced tea was a quarter. Have soup and salad and iced tea for a buck.
Yeah.
Now, if you went to a comparable restaurant and had a salad bar and soup and iced tea, it'd be about $15.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lettuce hasn't gone up in price that much. Neither has salad dressing or soup. But the purchasing power of your dollar diminished that much. That's what inflation is.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they just create dollars out of nothing, it makes the people poorer.
Yep.
And sadly, that is the stated goal of the Great Reset.
Yep.
They say, the globalists say, by 2030, you'll own nothing and like it.
That's right.
Well, I don't know that we'll like it, but they're well on the way to us owning nothing because eventually that $100,000 won't buy anything.
This is all by design. A recent news poll by CBS, 70% of the American public now favor increase of the debt ceiling.
Yep.
Now, 70%. Mm-hmm. I would really like to know the demographic from which they pulled this, because the people I know, they're not in favor of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is all by design.
Yep.
Our government is now rewarding
right
bad behavior.
Right.
They are wanting us to be dependent on the government, yep. And it's all by design. So why do you think the government is rewarding this bad behavior? For example, a recent employee was viewing certain people coming into an institution stealing. Mm-hmm. When they called the police, they were fired from their job. Why are we rewarding improper bad behavior? Why are we rewarding those people who have a drug problem, but we allow them to continue their drug problem by providing them with the avenue to continue going down that path of destruction? It's all by design.
Sure.
So why is this happening to our society? It's
Go ahead. You got it. Yeah.
No. Please. I mean, well, why is this happening?
Well, it's the our founding fathers said that only a moral people can be self-governing.
That's
quite
right.
Frankly, to be self-governing, you have to be moral, mm-hmm. and you have to be educated. You don't need a lot of police if you are self-governing.
That's right.
But they cause chaos, mm-hmm. and then the only way to regain order is by a police state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're moving for. You know, you look at any communist country. You look at Cuba. You look at the old Soviet Union. You look at Red China. And ultimately, the people aren't citizens. They're subjects.
That's right.
And in America, we have been free. In fact, we call our politicians public servants because they're supposed to be serving us.
That's right.
But we are going down this chain, this line of decay, mm-hmm. until that slip. Quite frankly, it's already flipped. We just don't know it
yet. Chicago is a good example of that. Let's talk about gun control real quick.
Yeah,
Chicago has the most aggressive gun control. So shouldn't Chicago be one of the most safest cities in the country?
Well, there's an old saying that says if guns are the cause of gun crimes, then no one should get out of a gun show alive. But it's amazing. Do you feel threatened, David? I happen to be carrying now. Always am. It's amazing. My guns never go out on shooting sprees because it's not the guns. It's the person.
Exactly.
In fact, I saw recently a study that said when there is a shooting and they wait for police to respond, on average, there's about 10 to 12 deaths. When there's a shooting and there is a person there with concealed carry, there's usually no more than 2 deaths. So the way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
No. You should put a sign in your window that says gun-free.
I was going to go in and rob that bank, but it said no guns allowed.
No guns, so you
foiled again. Well, let's talk about the solution on this thing because we're about out of time.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: we have money coming in. Here's what you do, just as an individual does. If you lose your job or you've taken a pay cut or something, what do? Do you just move out into a cardboard box? No, you start evaluating your spending. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not going to go to the movies this month because I can't afford it. You know what? I'm going to disconnect cable because I can't afford it. I'm going to go back to the rabbit ears for a while. I'm going to have to make some sacrifices. I'm going to eat some beans and rice rather than steak and baked potatoes. So you have to prioritize your spending and have to cut your spending. Some things we could do right off the bat is we could – and understand, with the amount of revenue we have coming in right now, you go back to 2019, 2020, we would be operating in the black because our spending in 2019, 2020 was actually below what our tax base is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happened since 2020 to now? We've had all this insane COVID spending.
And open borders.
And open borders. Yeah, well, yeah. But they have just declared, of course, we've known this for a while, but COVID is over. It's passed. That crisis is passed. So why don't we roll it back to 2020 spending?
Mm-hmm.
We could do that. We should do that. We have to prioritize where we spend our money. I would stop sending money to Ukraine, for one thing,
mm-hmm.
and I would begin keeping our money here to pay our expenses. So there's a number of things we can do. One, recognize the situation that we're in, roll it back to pre-2020 spending patterns,
mm-hmm.
and then we've got to prioritize. The things that are a waste of the people's resources are where we need to stop.
Yep.
But they're trying to intimidate, threaten, scare the populace, which is why you quoted that number a while ago. 70% of the people say we've got to raise the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we don't have to. They can get this under control if they wanted to.
That's right.
And that's the problem. I'm thankful to the House Freedom Caucus. They got out, mm-hmm. and they have been strong on this. Quite frankly, with the selection of this speaker, they were strong with his selection process. And they've been strong on this. Hopefully, the people will listen, mm-hmm. and hopefully will not put up with this nonsense anymore. Because this bill right now, as it is not good for the United States of America.
From an individual perspective, I think we as a country need to focus our energies on the good things. For example, if you wanted to be the best athlete, you had to train hard.
Yep.
And when you trained hard, you were rewarded mm-hmm. by a win, or you were rewarded with a paycheck because mm-hmm. you trained hard. If you wanted to be that's an athletic way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to be a businessman and make bukus of money because your goal and passion was to make a lot of money, then what did you have to do? Did you just rely on someone to do it, or did you invent something, create something that someone else desired, and you worked and you worked and you worked, and you were rewarded
yep.
by that hard work with the finances to do great things.
Yep.
But no, we're not doing that anymore. Rewarding bad behavior, like I said earlier. So what can we do as individuals? Shut the border down.
Yep.
Close the border. They are stealing. The people coming in our country illegally are stealing jobs.
You can't have a welfare state and open borders.
That's right.
Just implode at some point in time. Yep.
And sometimes I remember going to UMKC working on my master's degree. I worked concrete construction.
Mm-hmm.
I put my concrete boots on, my ball mm-hmm. cap on, slinging concrete mud in the morning, and then sit down and say, all right, I'm ready to learn, do my classes.
Yep.
And at night, I worked another job. That's what you did.
Buddy.
That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. I'm not entitled to anything.
Right.
This gimme, gimme, gimme stuff, it's got to stop.
But they're trying to create this mentality. I mean, they're trying.
Oh, they've
to
done us, a great job of it.
They're getting us to think like socialists.
I'm a victim.
Well, that's right. And right now they're rewarding bad behavior.
That's right.
You know, you saw that recently. We've always had, you know, you will earn a credit rating based upon your payment history.
I worked hard on my credit rating.
But now the thought is, if your credit rating is high, we're going to start making you pay an higher interest rate so we can give lower credit ratings to people or lower interest rates to people whose credit ratings are poor. That is insane.
It is.
That's a recipe for suicide of an economy. But understand that those that are in power right now, that's what they want. They want global control. They want to eliminate the free market and freedom in whole. So those of us that know better, we've got to keep our heels dug in. Keep telling the truth. Whenever they speak
and people
a lie,
are, people are telling the look, truth. Look what happened with Anheuser-Busch. I know yep. we're out of time, but look,
and
people
Target.
Are and Target.
People
they
are finally
making,
fed up.
They are tired of it.
There's
exactly.
not more than two genders. People are finally fed up with that nonsense. By the way, I have one more point in case this is the last point, David, but this is so important. If anybody is wanting to know whether this compromise between our speaker and the current president is good, whether they've actually held the line, remember one of the big things in that last bill they passed, the Deficit Reduction Act or
yes.
the Inflation Protection Act,
yeah.
which turned out to be the Green New Deal is all it was. But 87,000 new IRS agents. Now, they've allocated over $80 billion to make this happen to the IRS.
Mm-hmm. And remember,
yep.
they're going to be carrying weapons,
yep.
and they'll
yep.
have they will have the permission to use force.
Don't trust them at all. But with that give, send, whatever they were, the supposedly the good bill is they had put the brakes on that. They had stopped the funding, so it wasn't going to happen. Those 87,000 IRS agents were not going to be hired. Well, with this current compromise bill, $80 billion, they've cut $1.5 billion out of it. So some $78.5 billion is going to the IRS. So maybe they can only hire 86,000 agents now.
Yeah.
Rather than 87,000. So if anybody wants a microcosm of just how bad this compromise is, that's it.
Yep.
Don't trust them. In fact, that's a great moniker. Don't ever trust a politician.
Right.
Well, hopefully this has given you some something to go on. I recommend go to the Epoch Times, good source of
yep.
news. Go to New American Magazine, also a very good, reliable source of news. I happen to subscribe to The Blaze. I think that's a great source. And Daily Wire is also
yep.
a
oh,
good
yeah.
source. So yep. find a good source of news and then keep yourself educated. Keep your congregation. Keep your family well informed. Hopefully it'll be contagious. We can affect those around us, and hopefully we can dig our heels in. And, you know, the people are starting to get absurdly frustrated with all this nonsense.
Yep.
I hope that we see a great revival. I hope to see a great awakening once again.
Yep.
Well, David, it's always a joy to spend time with you. Thanks for sitting in this week.
Sure.
And thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Until next time, may God bless you.